Bonjour, Monsieur, Madame. Thank you very much. thank you very much for the invitation to speak here. It really is a pleasure. So, before I start, there were two things that I picked up this morning, and I wish my French was better so I could understand, because it sounded really interesting. But the first was one of the quotes that was up, talking about this event, not trying to separate out the artist and the professional and the amateur, but basically saying that through mobile phones, everybody is actually a creator and a distributor and a consumer of content. I think that's really interesting. And it's something that will come through in my presentation. The other point is that I work in the field of mobile learning. So I'm living in Paris now, joined UNESCO, and we're running various projects to see how mobile devices can improve education access and quality and equality. So a lot of the people that I speak to are education people. They could be parents, they could be teachers, they could be ministers of education. They don't always understand what we do about mobile phones, and in particular. And many actually recently, for example, in South Africa, there was a call by a big group to ban phones in all schools. So, you know, really what they're saying is that there is no educational value for a mobile device, and certainly not in a school setting. So it's good to be here, because obviously this is a sympathetic audience. I feel like I'm amongst friends. And it's not just a case of having to like everything that happens through the creation of mobile phones, but at least to engage with it, especially from an educational perspective, and to have events like this where you try and understand what it is, what it means for the way that we communicate and learn and socialize, etc. I guess... I can talk in the meantime about the project. So I'm going to share with you about a project that I started a few years ago and that I'm still working on, called Yoza Cell Phone Stories. Just check my time here. Okay, voila. The project was started in South Africa, and I will take you through the kind of the background and the reasoning of what it is. But really what Yoza is, in summary, is publishing short stories, mobile novels, on a website, and also another very popular mobile instant messaging platform in South Africa, and actually in other countries. It's called Mixit, M-X-I-T. It has millions of users, especially young users. So basically, we publish short stories, and we allow young people to read the stories, obviously, and also to interact with them. So they can comment. Thank you.
Merci beaucoup. Where is it?
Okay, cool. I'm not sure if you have internet connection here, but if you want to see Yoza, the address is yoza.mobi. And this presentation is online at SlideShare and on my account. Okay, so like I was saying, we allow people and we want people to write, not just consume content, but also to create it. And so I'll give you some comments that I really like that we've received from our users. This was one of the first comments we ever received, and I think it represents so much about a mobile device being so much more than just something that you talk with, like it used to be. It is now your life. It's with you. It's very personal. It's very intimate. And this, for this person, that is where they want to do their reading, because that is where they are socializing and communicating and checking, you know, and waking up and setting their time and setting their alarm and checking the news or the sports score. So it's interesting. Okay, I started to talk about this, about the background to the project. Really, I've said this, but it's a bunch of short stories. We have some poems, we have some Shakespeare plays. And so on Mixit, it's on a mobile site. And really the interactivity is something that we wanted to explore. Not just having people consume that content, but to comment, to vote, to write reviews of the stories, to enter writing competitions. And that to me is the most exciting part of this. And that is what this kind of conference is about. It's about creating and not just consuming. And for people in South Africa, anywhere, for young people, that happens through a mobile device. Okay, so why Yoza? Well, I'll give you three reasons. Number one, that's how many households in South Africa don't own any books that you would read for leisure. More than half. This is how many libraries in public schools have a functioning library. So, in other words, young people don't have books at school and they don't have books at home. And so there really is, one, not really a reading culture, and secondly, it reflects in very low literacy scores at school. Of course, we do have mobile phones, and everybody knows about the mobile revolution, and Lawrence gave some great statistics earlier, that Africa is now actually the fastest growing and the second largest mobile market in the world. The 620 million subscribers. So every country in Africa is very different in terms of its mobile infrastructure, and South Africa is definitely one of the kind of leading places, countries, in terms of coverage and in terms of mobile data. So of course we have voice and SMS, but we have really good data and actually very cheap data. And because of that, we decided to kind of publish our content, not by SMS, but on a website. Because enough young people have these kind of phones that we call feature phones, you know, between a low end and between a smartphone. It's pretty basic, but it can access the internet and it's cheap. So we decided to go the kind of the data route, also because our content is longer than kind of 160 characters. But basically, a country like South Africa is book poor and mobile phone rich. We did some research with teenagers in a kind of low-income community called Khayelitsha and realized that most of the digital reading that they do is on a mobile phone. For us, most of us, it's probably on a computer. You sit at a computer at your desk all day. Most of their digital writing happens on a cell phone. So about 10% of households have a computer with an internet access in the whole country. 100% of households now have a mobile phone in the house. It may be a shared phone, and not all of those phones access the internet, but at least 90% of urban youth that we've seen can access the internet on their phones. So we kind of said, well, mobile novels are very popular in Japan and have been for a long time. Let's see if they'll work in South Africa. So this is what our first story looked like. It was called Contacts. This is Mixit. This is the old Mixit. It was very simple, text-based. And we published the story in English and in isiXhosa, which is one of the local languages. But very simple. Based on the success of Contacts, we launched Yoza. And Yoza is a library of stories. So this is what Yoza looks like today. Obviously, our kids don't access with those phones, but it looks nice in a presentation. But Mixit now allows images and allows a much kind of richer interface. So these are some of the stories that we have on Yoza. And we've got a lot of experience now just by trying out different things about what works. If you're publishing content on mobiles, and if you want to get people's responses, what works and what doesn't. And we've written some of that up. I can give you the URL afterwards, but we've written up a Yoza manifesto about how to write, what's worked for us anyway. So a lot of these, in fact, all of these are series. There's at least three stories because people, all of us like series. I mean, soap opera, and season one, season two, season three, you get to know the characters, and especially on mobile because you can't put so much information in one chapter. So it takes a long time to establish characters and a storyline, and so you want to build on that. But Confessions is kind of teen issues, which I'll come to in a moment. Sisters and the Awesomes is romance and relationships, very popular. Soccer, kind of teen adventure, and then we have five Shakespeare plays also, which are actually quite popular. So this is what Yoza looks like today. That's one story. You can see the kind of introduction, some of the chapters at the bottom. And if you were to click into one of those chapters, we have images sometimes, and we just use Creative Commons images and some text. Generally, each chapter is about 400 words, because you can't put too much information there, because most of the people that access this Yoza on a cell phone have got, I don't have my old phone yet, but the screen is about half the size of this. So you really can't make it too long. But at the same time, a lot of our stories are in a Word document, they're 20 to 30 pages. And you're reading that through a screen that's half the size of this. I mean, we would never do that, but if that's all you have, then, and if that's what where you're on that device for hours a day, that's what you're going to do. Okay, those are some of the comments. So this is a comment on Romeo and Juliet. If Friar's plan works, then Romeo will be able to come and take Juliet with him to live happily together at Mantua, but if it fails, someone's going to be dead. Laugh out loud. Okay. So we didn't promote the Shakespeare stories at all. We just put them up. We chose the ones that kids are doing, or young people are studying at school. And so everything that comes out of here, there's no prompt. This is just somebody who's reading the story. When I was at school, trying to get somebody to read Shakespeare, including me, was really a painful process. And I didn't like it. So I was impressed that somebody actually went and, without somebody explaining it to me. So I was impressed that somebody had gone and read it and decided to comment. This is someone else. I love the book. Wish it didn't have an ending. Shakespeare, please bring us another one. It was moi. Okay. So, just a couple of basics on Yoza. Today we have 30 mobile novels, 18 poems, and 5 Shakespeare plays. The genres, I've spoken about those, romance, soccer, classics. Many of the stories are, there's series, like there's three in a series, but every day, when we first publish them, we publish a chapter a day, like a soap opera, like a Moby soap. And that's worked very well for us. It's obviously quite challenging as an author to write a story that every day ends with a question mark, that you want to come back tomorrow and see what happens. But at the end of every chapter, there's a prompt to say, what do you think's happening? You know, should Song Gwezwa drop out of school so she can look after her mother who now has AIDS? What do you think? Or they can vote on something. Just lastly, the stories themselves are free, but you have to pay for the data. But again, you know, in South Africa, the data is about 7 South African cents, which is less than 1 euro cent per chapter. All the stories are openly licensed, Creative Commons licensed, or public domain stories. We do moderate the comments on Mixit before they go live, because most comments you don't have to moderate, but occasionally a couple of things come up that we either delete or edit out. And obviously, because it's on a website, it is globally available, but on Mixit itself, where most of our traffic comes from, it's in South Africa and in Kenya. Okay, I'll skip through this. We have a Facebook page as well. So, you know, interesting, one of the lessons that we've learned is that it's better to try and reach your target audience where they are, as opposed to kind of take them to someplace new. And that's why Mixit has worked for us, because that's where tens of millions of young people are at. They're on Facebook as well. So we don't publish our stories on Facebook, but we have a fan page, and if we publish a chapter on Yoza, that same day on Facebook, there'll be, hey guys, read the new chapter, what do you think? And we get some comments. Okay, so in terms of the statistics, since we started Yoza, we've had about 475,000 complete reads. So there I look at the last chapter in a story, and how many times people have accessed that. of our stories and our poems, which is a lot. In a place like South Africa, if you're an author and you sell 3,000 copies of a book, that is a bestseller. That's how small the book market is. So to get that many reads is really impressive. And also the number of comments, 47,000, is something that we are really happy with. So this is a tag cloud, a word cloud of the comments. And I added them up, and they're about 1.5 times the length of War and Peace that people have written on their phones. So there's a lot of interactivity going on here. I don't know if in French do people do text speak, like shortenings, or is it... you do? Okay. Yeah. I know that English is a much more malleable language that is open to being changed. I know French traditionally is quite kind of, the same, but... So I've learned to speak this language. Does everybody understand this? Attracts. Okay, voila. Okay, you can do text speak in English, kind of. So this is an easy one. I really love the story. It was touchy, even painful. Again, I learned a lot from it. I'm going to pass it on to my friend and family to read for themselves. This is a very recent comment on a story we wrote a few months ago about two young people in a relationship, and the one is HIV positive, and she tells her boyfriend. But I was really struck by this, I'm going to pass it on to my family and my friend, and thinking about, well, if you read a good book, you'll lend it to your friend or to your mother or your father. I'm not sure how they pass it on, if they just tell their friend, go and read the story, or if they go after their mother and say, yeah, read this, you know. It's interesting to think about. So interesting for us, we aimed our project at kind of 13 to 17 year olds, and our biggest uptake has actually been amongst 18 to 25 year olds. Even though our stories are very kind of teenage, very kind of teenage driven. So a couple of interesting stats, slightly more female than male readers, which is normal. Not normal, but that is usually what happens, especially if you look at research in Japan. Okay, I see that. I've only got 5 minutes left. Okay. Basically, the aha moment for all of us on this project is that in a place like South Africa, a mobile phone, even a very basic phone, can be used to distribute longer form content, not just SMSs, like a 30-page Word document, that somebody is going to read if it's interesting enough, engaging enough, cheap enough, accessible enough, and for getting participation. And so participatory culture, which I'm sure you're familiar with, is often a lot of the examples and what the internet means for participation. Those examples come from the US, come from developed countries. So they're YouTube videos and people who collectively create Wikipedia. And the work that we've been doing basically shows that in a place like South Africa, that happens through a mobile device. And it might be a 5-word comment, but it's exactly the same thing. You know, it's somebody who reads... It's somebody who reads a comment, reads something, and wants to formulate a response and presents that in a public space. So it's kind of exactly the same. So for us, we learned a couple of lessons in this project, which they're in the slide, but I can take you through them. Number one, this is a new space. So we did some really good research with young people in Khayelitsha, in Langa, in these areas, and worked with them to understand what kind of stories they want to read, and also what kind of questions we should ask to get the maximum impact and response from the audience. And they were great. You know, they told us to be as provocative as possible. Really ask difficult questions, especially for young people. They have an opinion, they have a voice. Mobile is enabling them to actually express themselves for the first time on a global scale. Thank you. So we did some research with them, which is this. You know, the second one is that mobile is a content monster. Okay. Every time we publish a story, and just one chapter a day, people want, they can't wait. You know, we published at midnight, at 1 minute past midnight, I get comments saying, now I have to wait the whole day for the next story. Okay, so people are on their phones all the time. I mean, it is a monster, right? So, and this is interesting. This is the time, that's 24 hours in a day from midnight to midnight. That's when people are commenting. So basically, the readers never go to sleep. And this is a problem for parents, for teachers, you know. And I say our readers are kind of, a lot of them are students or in their 20s. But it's always on. And so it's a different experience. The mobile is different. And different to the way to the other devices or the books that we've consumed information on before. Users know what they want. And it was really great as somebody creating content, we could ask them, what do you want to read about? And they told us, you know, what really stands out is kind of issues, pregnancy, drugs, careers, money, AIDS, and also romance and adventure. So people want to learn, but they like these real life stories. I've spoken about always prompting and trying to be provocative, and this was interesting. You know, obviously you get immediate feedback on your stories. And so for our authors, that was quite scary because usually you write a book and it takes months before you get anything back. Here they will tell you immediately, this chapter sucks, or we love this, what's happening, can't wait for the next, the next installment. And so we were even able to adapt our stories based on the feedback that we got. I've spoken about that. I think this is the last one. In terms of, this is our very first story. It had 21 chapters, which we told over 21 days. That's how many times it got read, the first chapter. And that's the drop-off. And I think that's a consistent pattern that we've seen. A mobile novel isn't like a book. You can pick it up and immediately go, okay, this is for me, interesting or no. You have to go into it to actually experience. And that's why we have this, people come to the first chapter, no, not interested. But the ones that do stay generally stay until the end. Okay, that's 20 minutes. Okay, I'm wrapping up. You can't reach everybody. So, does anybody know what that little face at the end means? It's sleeping. Okay. So, we couldn't impress everybody, but these were our real fans. They left many comments. In terms of the final thoughts, I think that, you know, for us, certainly what we saw with the mobile phone, in particular, is the e-reader of Africa. And it's kind of what Lawrence was saying earlier about this is the device that so much text is consumed on all the time in SMS or these kind of stories. And so the Kindle and the iPad is not going to get there for a long time. It's just basic mobile phones. The text speak is definitely here to stay, and we need to engage with it. And there are people who think it's a very bad thing. There are people who think it's actually a good thing. And that it's a normal thing as language changes. And it's a really interesting discussion. And we should continue to engage with that. And then lastly, that there are these mobile literacies that are emerging. And Maritza, I think you were speaking about this morning, in terms of, you know, it doesn't just change the way that we communicate, it changes the style of communication. And especially in online social networks and in places where you're public online, your identity that you're creating, what kind of comments you leave, what does it say about you? And so one of our researchers from the University of Cape Town wrote a really interesting report on our project about mobile literacy and who you are online, the language you use, and how you interact with other people. Last comment. This was really interesting. I mean, not in text speak saying this helps his English. And for this person, our stories may be the best English that they're actually exposed to. Okay. Merci beaucoup.